Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Schreier is here. Jim has become a great member of our Brain Trust Management Consultant, specializing in leadership and training and strategic exploration, things like that. He's the director of training at Joel Barker Strategic Exploration Tools Organization. You know who Joel is. He's one of another one of our great Brain Trust members, and Jim is our good friend. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Welcome, Lynn. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. So I was telling the audience, Jim, before you got here, that as you something you already know, and that's that the number one challenge that all managers, all sales, all owners have today is not taxes, it's not more sales, it's not more profit, it's not higher health care bills. It's getting, being able to attract and hire and bring on board new people, qualified people. It's the number one challenge. And so what would make someone choose you? That's what's happening right now. It's a buyer's market, right? And the employees are the buyers. What would make them choose you over someone else? And it's people hire face-to-face, right? There's two humans who so far still look at each other in the eye, so to speak, and say, okay, let's do it. And what would make somebody make those decisions? We have to choose your company over another company. And so it's increasingly about the ability of the person on the other side of the desk saying, will you come to work for us, right, Jim?
That's correct. I mean, there's some people that believe, and I agree with it, that people take a job because it's a company they want to work for. I mean, there are companies with great reputations.
Right.
It's a job they want to do, so it's in their wheelhouse. It's their passion. But the third factor is, in my mind, one of the most important ones because it's the one that falls apart. It's a person they want to work for. It's mm-hmm. the manager.
Mm-hmm.
People, there's a strong belief, and there's always different research on things like this, but there's a strong belief that people don't leave companies, they leave managers.
That's exactly right. That's from research, Jim, as I've reported on the show many times over the last years, is for decades, I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 decades, the number one reason people leave a company is not money. That's usually fourth, fifth, or sixth. It's because
yep.
of the person that they worked for.
That's correct.
They were underappreciated.
Absolutely.
Mostly, weren't
yep.
they?
Or mistreated in some other way. Issues weren't dealt with. The thing that I shared with you in preparation for this surprised me a little bit because there's a lot of different aspects to management and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that surprised me about the information I shared with you is that according to this particular research, conflict management turned out to be number one on the list.
That is really something that surprised
yeah.
me. Tell us why you think
this
has popped up like that.
Well, I think it's probably because, I mean, and you could try and make some relationship to society as a whole in terms of both sensitivity and the willingness to be challenging and create conflict. But it's the fact that what turns out from this particular piece of research that I found interesting was not only the reference to managers saying they're spending 2.8 hours per week dealing with conflict, but not knowing how to deal with conflict.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. I'm curious about this. I'd like your thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
As I have managed millennials over the last, 15 years or so, I do see that they think of conflict. They receive management, so or guidance. I call it guidance. They probably don't think it's guidance, but they receive that kind of behavior. Me correcting them or me helping them understand what went wrong or whatever. They receive that in a more sensitive way than my generation did. They're a little softer about it than my generation was, and I wonder if that's part of of the issue with when what maybe for a long time managers never considered to be conflict, they now actually are they're seeing that the person on the other side of the desk is thinking it's conflict. What do you think?
I think that's true. I think that's true. I also don't think that's just limited to millennials, because I noticed that a couple decades ago dealing with Gen X in the classroom, there seemed to be a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing I think is important is I think that's an issue on both sides. Yes, I will fully support the idea that millennials, maybe even Gen X, is a little more sensitive to feedback than previous mm-hmm. generations. But at the same time, we haven't done enough to address, again, the role of the manager
right.
in learning how to deliver that feedback.
We have not
properly.
Prepared the manager for that difference in those different generations. I just wonder if that's not the reason why it's popping up as number one on your list.
I think that's
not as the entire reason, but a contributor.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's to me, that's the big issue, is that we've got managers that aren't trained in how to deal with some of these issues. And it all focuses on the manager. The list that I shared with you is a long list, 10 different factors. We could spend an entire session on each one of those talking mm-hmm. about the evidence that's related to that.
Right.
But it does all come back to, okay, we promote people to management positions who are not qualified to do it. On the flip side, we've also learned, and you're going to find out more about this in your next session, that there are organizations that have done a great job of developing managers who do have good skills. So it can be done.
Mm-hmm. So what we're saying here is that in order, as a way of not being deficient or having a deficit of talent, which most people feel they are right now, one of the ways to fight that is don't just train your managers on how to do business, how to do your business. You got to train them on how to lead these people. You got to train them on as you call them, the soft skills.
Absolutely. And the training has to be serious. It has to be not just 10 easy tips to deal with it. Because honestly, and I'll use that first one as an example, an article that says here are the 5 best tips for dealing with conflict isn't going to cut it.
Right.
That's not going to really help somebody understand not only what conflict really is, but how to address it. Learning takes time. It takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also part of it is education on both sides of the desk. I mean, we need to tell our employees now, look, me talking to you about the mistake you made and what it did to the company and how we can fix this so it doesn't happen again, that's not a conflict. No, you can't. You're not.
Yep.
You shouldn't consider that conflict. This is work. This is how we work.
Yep,
I think expectations have a lot to do with this. Hold on to that thought. Right back with Jim Schreier, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingham. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.